Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call of Mankind Pharma Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Agarwal, Head Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. A very warm welcome to our Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. On the call today, we have Mr. Rajeev Juneja, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sheetal Arora, Chief Executive Officer and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Arjun Juneja, Chief Operating Officer, Dr. Sanjay Koul, Chief Marketing Officer, Mr. Ashutosh Dhawan, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Prakash Agarwal, President Strategy. We will begin with opening comments from Mr. Rajeev Juneja, providing an overview of the quarter, followed by comments from Mr. Sheetal Arora on the business performance. Mr. Ashutosh Dhawan will share key financial performance, and then we will leave the forum open for Q&A. I hope you had a chance to access the investor pack shared on January 31st, 2024. However, I'd like to re-emphasize on the fact that certain statements made during today's call may pertain to future expectations and plans. A comprehensive disclaimer regarding the same has been provided on investor presentation and press release uploaded on our website. Now, I would like to invite Rajeev, sir, to share his comments.
Thank you, Abhishek, and good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to our Quarter 3 2024 earnings call. I'm delighted to share that the company has witnessed a strong quarterly performance as our revenue grew by 25% year-on-year to rupees 2,607 crore during the quarter. EBITDA grew by 39% year-on-year to rupees 611 crore. PAT grew by 55% year-on-year to 460 crore rupees. We have further bolstered our net cash position to rupees 2,756 crore, and the return on capital employed has also increased to 31% year-on-year in December 2023, compared to 23% as of December 2022. Here, I would like to especially highlight a key fact that in this quarter, we have successfully optimized our working capital days to 42 days in December 2023 versus 46 days in December 2022. While Mankind domestic secondary sales growth was 9% for the quarter as per IQVIA, which is 1.1 times outperformance to IPM growth for the quarter. However, we have reported a strong primary growth of 20% year-on-year in domestic business, led by robust growth in chronic, recovery in anti-infective, and gastro. This basically has happened due to strong growth in modern trade and hospital sales. Our top five therapeutics by sales have outperformed the IPM by 1.5 times. With the focused efforts of our team, our chronic segment share has increased by 130 basis points to 34.9% in 9 months 2024, as compared to 33.6% in 9 months 2023. We remain committed to increasing our presence in chronic therapeutic area. Our market share of our key chronic therapies, such as cardiac and antidiabetic, has reached to all-time high, exceeding 5% and 4.4% respectively. In our consumer healthcare segment, while primary sales performance has been muted, we have demonstrated healthy growth in secondary, tertiary sales in various brand categories, resulting into market share gain again. We remain confident that this segment will regain its strong growth trajectory propelling further expansion of our market share. On the R&D front, our focus remains on the product innovation, advancing drug delivery system, and fostering strategic partnership with innovators to bolster our product offerings. The successful introduction of Didoresterone reaffirmed our position as science-driven organization committed to delivering high-quality solutions to meet evolving market demand. Given strong net cash balance sheet, we continue to pursue opportunities in chronic therapies and consumer healthcare business via strategic acquisition and in-license opportunities. With our collective efforts and strategic vision of quality, affordability, and accessibility, we are confident to outperform industry growth in the years to come and deliver lasting value to our shareholders. With this, I will hand over to Sheetal, who will provide more details on our business performance.
Thank you, Rajeev ji. Good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to offer key insights of our business segments. Our domestic business, which accounts for more than 90% of our sales, has demonstrated robust year-on-year growth of 20%, reaching Rs. 2,400 crore in quarter 3 financial year 24. This growth is driven by several factors. First, we have seen strong chronic growth, 1.5 times higher than the Indian pharmaceutical market. This includes a 16.7% increase in the cardiac segment versus 8.8% for the IPM and a 13.4% rise in anti-diabetes compared to 5.5% for the IPM. Second, there is a notable recovery in key acute therapies. Our anti-infective segment grew by 13.8% against the IPM's 9.5%, and our gastro segment increased by 12.8% compared to 9.3% for the IPM. Third, our modern trade have continued to experience robust growth. Although this data is not captured in IQVIA reports, that is why there is a bridge between primary and secondary sales. If we adjust our secondary sales growth rate to consider significant increases in modern trade and the withdrawal of key products due to regulatory restrictions, our IQVIA secondary sales growth would also show a substantial increase. Additionally, after adjusting for these factors, our volume growth has also exceeded the IPM volume growth. We have also analyzed our primary sales volume data, which indicates a 2.3% volume growth in quarter 3 financial year 24 compared to a 1.8% volume decline in IQVIA secondary sales data. Our chronic business has shown a remarkable growth of 12.2%, consistently outperforming the IPM chronic by 1.3 times and the CVM IPM chronic by 1.6 times. This underscores the resilience and competitiveness of our chronic segment. I am delighted to report that our market share has increased sequentially, reaching 4.5% in quarter 3 financial year 24 from 4.4% in quarter 2 financial year 24. Even our CVM share has also rose to 6.6% from 6.5% quarter over quarter. Additionally, the count of our brands generating revenue of 50 crore has risen to 39 in MAT December 23, up from 37 in financial year 23, showing significant potential for further growth. Our Panacea revenues have continued to show healthy growth of 25% during the quarter. However, our consumer healthcare business experienced a subdued quarter with a revenues of Rs. 149 crore in quarter 3 financial year 24, a 5% year-on-year decline due to the corrective actions taken as previously highlighted. Despite this, our key brands continue to show strong secondary sales growth across categories, increasing their market share. Our export business has shown a growth of 118% year-over-year, led by a strong performance in the U.S. market. With our commitment to a healthier Bharat, I am confident that we are on the path to a brighter future. I do like to conclude by expressing my gratitude to all our stakeholders for their support and confidence in Mankind. Before, I will hand over to Ashutosh ji to provide us deeper insight into our financial performance. Let me highlight few important points. First, the growth of Mankind is 25% versus quarter 3, 24. Chronic segment is 1.5 times higher than the IPM. Market share of Q3 is 4.5% versus Q2 4.4%. Penicillin revenue growth is more than 25%. Export has grown in the tune of 118%. Even the growth of EBITDA is 39%. Now, Ashutosh ji, please go for a financial detail. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Sheetal ji. A very good afternoon, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank everyone for taking time out for joining us. I hope you would have received our financial results and press release published on 31st of Jan 2024. Today, I will talk to you through the key financial highlights for quarter 3 FY24. During the quarter, our revenue from operations significantly increased by 25% year-on-year basis to Rs. 2,607 crore as compared to 2,091 crore for Q3 FY23. The EBITDA has grown by 39% on year-on-year basis to Rs. 611 crores with a margin of 23.4% as compared to Rs. 440 crores with a margin of 21% last year's Q3 FY23, which is an increase of 2.4% on year-on-year basis in percentage terms. This increase of 2.4% is driven by increase in gross margin of 0.7%, and the balance is supported by operating leverage being achieved due to strong revenue growth, which is 55% on year-on-year basis. In Q3 FY24, gross margins have increased by 0.7% to 68.3% as compared to 67.6% in Q3 of last year. This increase is on account of favorable sales mix and the price increase effect, which was undertaken in the prior quarters. The R&D expenses for the quarter are at Rs. 56 crores, which is 2.1% of the sale, which remains within the stipulated range of 2% to 2.5% as we have communicated earlier. The depreciation and amortization expenses for the quarter increased to Rs. 110 crores from Rs. 85 crores in Q3 FY23. This is primarily due to two reasons. First one is the capitalization effect, as we have capitalized more than 1,000 crores in the last 12 months. Moreover, in this quarter, we have taken an accelerated depreciation on the items capitalized for our research center at Manesar, as we have initiated the process of upgradation and expansion of R&D center to support future growth. The ETR for 9 months FY24 is close to 20% as compared to 21.6% during FY23. The profit after tax for the quarter was at Rs. 460 crore, which is 17.6% of the sales, representing a robust growth of 55% year-on-year basis, with diluted EPS of Rs. 11.3 per share of rupee paid. Cash EPS, that is cash adjusted for non-cash items like depreciation and amortization, was at Rs. 14.1. Further, I am elated to share that during the quarter, we witnessed strong cash flow from operations of Rs. 667 crores due to operational efficiency, resulting in reducing the working capital days from 46 days to 42 days on a 12 months trailing period basis. This led to a healthy net cash position of ₹2,756 crore. A strong cash position in the balance sheet provides enough scope for any potential M&A and in-licensing opportunities. Return on capital employed ex cash increased to 31% on 12 months trailing basis as compared to 25% in FY23. This is due to EBIT improvement and cash generation on trailing 12 months basis. A return on equity ex cash increased to 26% on 12 months trailing basis as compared to 23% in FY23, primarily due to increase in PAT percentage on TTM basis. The CAPEX, including the capital work in progress, was at ₹324 crores in 9 months FY24. For FY24, the total CAPEX would be less than ₹500 crore. Further, we expect to maintain our EBITDA margins for the full year to be in the range of 24% to 26% as mentioned in the previous interactions. With this, I would like to conclude our opening remarks, and we will now be happy to address any questions that you may have, please. Over to you, Abhishek.
Yeah, we can start the Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dr. Kunal D. from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations on the strong set of numbers. First one, on our reported growth of around 22% for the domestic prescription business, if I strip out our consumer business, and we have mentioned categorically two things, modern trade and hospital space. So I would just like to know, are those big growth factor in this quarter? And if yes, can you quantify those?
Dr. Kunal, good morning. Let me tell you something, that we are a very unique kind of a company, and many departments in Mankind are still evolving. In last few quarters only, this modern trade department has become quite organized. Otherwise, what was basically happening, all the goods were going from our regular stockist. And that's one reason all of a sudden modern trade is growing at a phenomenal pace. It is right now contributing 5-6% in our total sales. So that basically is a major reason that when you look at the IQVIA and when you look at our own sales, there's quite a difference. This is one. The second basically is what? We've always mentioned that our chronic growth is much better. It is 1.5%, 1.5 times to IPM. We are growing faster. If you look as a whole as well, in chronic side, you'll find that 2 years back, it was around 33% in 2022, 34% in our share in 23. And now it has increased in 9 months to 35%. This is the second one. Third basically is what? The second quarter was not great. In third quarter, we have recovered a lot in antibiotics, in gastro. All sort of things have really happened. That's the major reason. Plus, something has come from, some kind of a growth, or some sales have come from our other businesses, like example, AgriTech. That's the reason when you look at IQVIA growth versus as the whole growth of Mankind. There's a difference.
Sure. Thank you for that detailed answer, sir. And just one bit on the sequential compression in the gross margin. Is it primarily on the back of more acute kind of also recovering from Q2 to Q3? and maybe some of these newer businesses might have some lower gross margin. Is that the correct way to understand?
Hi, this is Ashutosh Kunal. So if you see gross margin on a year-on-year basis, so there has been an increase of 70 basis point. However, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, there is a dip of 120 basis point, and this is primarily because of two reasons. First one is that we have taken some inventory-related accruals due to slow-moving and non-moving item, so that has impacted negatively. And secondly, the impact is coming because our Sikkim plant was comparatively underutilized for this particular quarter due to shutdown on account of floods. So 10% was the underutilization factor. So it's a sum total of these two key factors which has resulted in the gross margin compression of 120 basis point on quarter-on-quarter basis.
So, and it should come back, barring the product mix changes, etc. We expect these to reverse, right?
So what we maintain to the guidance given that our gross margins will be upward of 68% for the year.
Sure, sir. And the last one, with the permission, on the consumer side, we have said that we have taken some distributor consolidation or IT implementation and channel inventory rationalization impacting our growth. So all those are now done in quarter four, or we are still seeing those activities continuing?
See, Dr. Kunal, we said in the last quarter as well that we are going for optimization, automation, and we have done certain corrective actions. So this would be completed in quarter four, and we hope and quite confident that next year would be much better.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, if I were to look at the, growth that we've seen in the export business, that of course has helped margins quite a bit. And if I look at the approvals, Mankind seem to be getting quite a few approvals in the U.S., would you still qualify the, U.S. business like you have in the past as one-off, or, we should continue to see this business grow and contribute to margins?
Hi, this is Arjun here. So our U.S. business, if you see, we had been filing a lot of products in the U.S. So until this year and last year, most of our products started receiving approvals and we were launching these products in the market. So the base was very low in the last year, and that's why we are seeing a significant growth in this year. Also, the one-off product which we have, which is kind of a monopolistic product where there is no competitor in the market, is contributing to a major part of this growth. So we expect some sort of a competition to come in this product. We are not sure by when, but going forward in the next year, we expect some growth to come in the US market, but it will not be as significant as it was this year.
Understood. And if I were to strip out, the sales growth that we've seen in export market from even, with some margin assumption, would we have still seen margin expansion in the domestic business? Because it does not seem that way. If I were to just do a basic back of the envelope calculation, it seems like margins have been, pretty much flattish this year despite the growth in domestic.
See, look at the efforts of Mankind, which direction we are moving. We are moving towards chronic side. So that basically gives some kind of indication that yes, in chronic side, since we are working, we hope that our gross margins will definitely increase.
And would that reflect in EBITDA margin improvement, sir? Or, would that chronic expansion require us to continue to spend on SG&A promotion, to achieve the growth rate that we want to achieve for chronic?
So why not? Why not EBITDA will increase for what we are working? Actually, we are working for long-term things always. So what is relevant, what is right, we keep doing that. We hope that EBITDA will definitely increase.
Okay. And my last question, sir, you mentioned, potential opportunities that you're looking at consumer healthcare and chronic. In consumer healthcare, what are the, segments that you would be interested in given the existing portfolio that you have? What are the areas that would interest you?
Neha, anything which basically is towards pharmacy side would interest us. Anything, because we have always seen that we are strong in our pharmacy side, so we want to just further strengthen our that strength. Not any FMCG.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Harsh from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Afternoon. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah, thank you. So you made a comment in the initial part of the commentary in terms of the volume growth. Could you clarify a little bit in terms of the Mankind growth, volume growth being 2.3% versus negative 1.8% as per IQVIA data?
The point basically, we basically emphasize that, I just said 5 minutes back as well, that our modern trade hospital department is quite new. It is few quarters old only. And that's one reason it is growing at a phenomenal pace. And for your knowledge and for us people's understanding, IQVIA does not cover that. And that's one reason when you look at from IQVIA lenses, you find that our growth is in minus. But once you add our modern trade sales, the growth would be 2.5%. And also one product which basically was had a regulatory effect, discontinued, that also was a reason for that.
Okay, so in the presentation, the 9 month data that is given, these numbers that you're talking about is on a quarterly basis, that I understand. But the presentation slide number 17 that we have given, negative 1% volume growth, is there a way to sort of understand what would that look like post these adjustments on a 9 month basis?
Yeah, so that is as per IQVIA, that number that we are reflecting. As adjusted for the product restriction as well as the MT, as highlighted by Rajivji, it's about 2% plus. So it's outperforming the IPM.
Okay, even on 9 month basis, the volume.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amay Chalke from GM Financials. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. I just had a follow-up on the volume and the size constituents. So basically next year, going into next year, we will see WPI to be on the lower side, the price hike we will get on the aniline side. So how do you expect these constituents to change going into next year? Because the price hike component is around 6% right now. New product component is around 4%, which I believe is slightly on the higher side compared to peers. So how do you expect that to change in the coming year?
So basically, if you see, the WPI for next year will be flattish. It will not be negative by a big number. I think it's coming to around 0.02 or 0.3 negative.
Yeah.
So I think WPI will be negative. I mean, if you see overall Mankind's portfolio, I think we are one of the only very few companies in the industry where the portfolio, where negligible portfolio falls in NLEM. Whereas products which are outside of NLEM were allowed to take a 10% price increase. And over the last few years, we've been miser enough to take this price increase, which we are taking very judiciously in selective products where we don't increase our pricing too much. Because over the years, the tag of affordability which we have maintained, we want to maintain the same tag. However, having said that, I feel that over the next year, we continue to expect a similar price increase, what we've seen this year.
Don't you think this price hike strategy is a drift from what we have grown over the last 10 years?
See, I mean, the strategy basically is only one, that how can we grow and how can we maintain our accessibility image in image in consumer's mind, because this has been done in last couple of years working. So we always want to maintain that kind of image of Mankind in consumer's mind. Strategies, whenever there is the opportunity, whenever we see that competitors have increased and we have some kind of a say, that in top 10 companies, in top 15 companies, we are the most affordable, we go for that. We basically move as per the overall scenario in the market. Random, separately, we don't see like that. It's always been a holistic thinking.
Sure. And this this last thing, is this price hike, is it more towards chronic product? Is it more towards acute product? How would you describe?
It is always more towards opportunity, neither chronic nor acute. Wherever we see the opportunity is there, we don't look from these lenses. We look where it will not affect us, where competitors will not be able to cut our corners. This is how we move forward.
Sure.
So across the portfolio in acute and chronic, we remain 15 to 20% cheaper across the portfolio, be it acute or chronic.
Right. Okay. And just last thing, is it possible for you to tell us about the profitability of the acute and the chronic business? If not quantitatively, at least qualitatively, whether the chronic is still in investment phase or how things will move here.
We can give you a flavor around the gross margin front, because at the EBITDA level, because there is an overlap for promoting a chronic as well as acute. If you look at the gross margin standpoint, there is a delta of 10 to 12% better margin in the chronic segment on absolute terms basis as compared to acute. Let's say if acute is giving a margin of 65%, then chronic will be giving 75-77%. Yeah,
but that's very generic for all the companies. If you can give some flavor on the EBITDA, as in, is it a chronic in investment phase? Because the contribution of chronic business is expected to increase further for next 5 years. So I want to know directionally how it will change.
I mean, please understand that our Mankind's model is very, very unique. In what sense that, like you see in any pharma companies, they have only chronic divisions. And here, our number of divisions have mixed portfolio, acute and chronic. And some divisions are only chronic, which are launched last couple of years, four years' time. So it's quite difficult for us to really, I mean, segregate those. It's always mixed up. And that's one reason we call, whatever you call it, we give this kind of generic answers. They are not separate.
Sure.
Even if you see chronic share has improved, if the chronic share will improve, then definitely EBITDA and gross margin will going to improve.
Sure. And on the exports, where do you see the exports 5 years down the line? What are your priorities there? How do you see yourself in terms of geographic presence, manufacturing capabilities on the export side? That's the last. Thank you so much.
See, Mankind was domestic-focused company, and it will remain domestic-focused company. Maybe 90% of the sale definitely will come from domestic. So export, we are present in US and rest of the world, but we are clear that wherever we can get the opportunity to launch niche brands, which are high in profitability, we'll be going to launch those products. But going forward, 5 years down the line, Mankind main sale will come from domestic.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Seth from Giddick Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have a similar question on the export side. The current run rate, you say the growth will not be similar to what we achieved this year because of certain opportunities we got. But do we see the positive trend to continue, or at least we can maintain or match the revenue trend right of this year continuing going forward in the absolute basis?
Yes,
so we did around 200 crore this quarter. So that's the question basically. Yeah, sorry.
We can assume the positive trend will continue. The growth will not be as significant as it was this year, but growth will be there, high teen, double digit growth will be there in the next year. We are expecting a few new approvals over the next few quarters.
And the existing products which are launched in last 9 months are also ramping up.
So the participant has left the queue. I would request him to join us back. We'll take the next question from the line of Sagar Sethi from Sethi Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please.
Hello. What is your margin of oil and expansion? Margin of oil?
Sorry.
Sir, your audio is not clear. Mr. Sethi, I would request you to kindly use your handset to ask questions.
What is your margin profile going ahead?
Margin?
The margin profile.
So we have given a guidance, so EBITDA margin guidance of 24 to 28% for the 24 to 26% for the financial year. And in 9 months we have done 24.8%.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Dr. Kunal D. from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again, sir. So on the chronic business, we have done really well. I think FY18 or 19, we had 28% contribution coming from chronic. Now it is at 35. Do you believe that even over the next 3 to 5 years, such a pace of increase in contribution could continue for us?
Dr. Kunal, thank you so much for asking. I mean, we said we are saying it and we believe that Mankind is very capable of doing fantastic things in chronic side. We are few years old. We are not 28 years old in chronic side. We are maybe 18-19 years old in chronic side, and in those 18-19 years we have reached to this particular level. We believe that future lies here. We are working towards that side, and that's one reason you can see from 2018, when our share was just 28%, it has reached to 38%. In how many years? We can count yourself, 6 years time. We feel, we are very confident that, 35%. 28% in 2018 to 35% YTD 9 months. And we'll definitely do very, very good. What basically is the ambition that it should be in the line of any chronic side of the companies. Why not more than 40% or 50% in long term?
Just one addition here. On the, 3 years back we had this specialty chronic division. So we launched about 8 to 10 chronic divisions which are ramping up. So these are focused towards super specialty doctors, and these are across cardiac, diabetes, CNS, respiratory inhalers, etc. So these are still ramping up. I mean, the growth rate is much faster than the company average growth rate. So net-net, if you see, that would also lead to market share increase on the chronic side.
And moreover, if you see, we are under-indexed in this segment. The IPM is at 38%. So we are at a below average the IPM. So that's also give us some headroom for growth.
Sure, sir. And would you be able to provide the field force number, including the primary manager and excluding the first line manager?
So the total number of field force as on 31st December is 15,700. And if you see the breakups, around 12,000 is the is the MR, and the balance are the manager.
Sure. And one on the depreciation and amortization, which has continued to go up, and you have highlighted that we have capitalized 1,000 crore gross block, and that is the reason. But is the 110 crore per quarter a more or less sustainable number for us?
So as we mentioned, that out of this 110 crore, 9 crore is a bit of an inflated number, because that's the accelerated depreciation which we took. So it will be somewhere around 100 odd crores.
Sure, sir. And the last one on EBITDA margin, where you have guided for 24 to 26%, but any let's say medium term guidance or outlook or aspirational target that you have in mind?
So we have given, so if you see our 9 months EBITDA profile, so we are at 24.8%. We have given a guidance of 24 to 26%. And if we continue to maintain the growth momentum which we are, or the path on which we are, so we are hopeful that the margins will be getting achieved.
Sure. And lastly, what I
here's the levers. So, just to add the levers here, I mean, we get so many questions on EBITDA margin, but just food for thought. So, one is increasing share of chronic that will lead to margin expansion. Second is the new division that we spoke about, the super specialty in Mumbai. So, these are under-indexed and they are growing faster than the company average. So, that will lead to margin expansion, which both these put together also leads to improving MR productivity. So if you see last year, we were at 5.7 lakhs per MR. We have improved in the last 9 months to 6.4. So if the MR productivity increases, it flows down to EBITDA margins. So these are 3-4 key parameters. And the last one is brand creation. So if you see last year, we had 36-37 brands, which were 50 crores. And as the brand sales increase, the incremental effort to market those brands is less. So margin expansion happen in those brands. We are now 39 in 50 plus crore brands. So these are few food for thought that these initiatives lead to margin expansion. So direction should be there. Hope this helps.
Sure. Yeah. Greatly, Prakash. Thanks for that. And lastly, from your pricing comments, what I understood is, we are currently at 15-20% discount and we would be taking pricing, but we would not be taking it on overboard. So our relative discount would continue vis-a-vis peer. Is that correct understanding?
Yes, correct.
Okay, perfect.
The point is that the price increase growth will be in line or slightly lower than the IPM price increase growth so that the competitive advantage is maintained. At the same time, We will be carrying out the opportunistic price increase wherever opportunities are there. The price increase will be taken.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gagan Dhareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Okay. Sir, first question is, can you quote the share of sales coming from DPCO or NLEM, which is under DPCO or NLEM?
So it's between 14-15% is what is under the NLEM.
Okay.
And industry average is around 20%.
20% plus. Yeah.
Okay. And second, I mean, on the dihydrogestrone facility at Udaipur, can you give us some idea of what sort of scale up we can see from that in the coming year?
So dihydrogestrone facility was recently started in the last quarter, and the facility is in the process of scaling up. Commercial supplies have already started. So I hope that from the first quarter of next year, the facility would be fully scaled up and would be catering to the domestic and international demands of dihydrogestrone in totality.
Two questions related to that. One, I mean, in terms of scale up of sales of dihydrogestrone, would there be a sharp ramp up next year? And second, obviously, you know, currently the OPEX is under absorbed, and therefore, consequently, next year would it mean that margins should benefit from the ramp up from that plant?
So basically, I mean, this plant is made to cater to the future demands of dihydrogestrone. Dihydrogestrone is not just consumed in India, it's also consumed outside of India. There are several markets, for example, China, Russia, a lot of Southeast Asian markets, which are big in consumption of dihydrogestrone. So this plant is made to cater to the growing demands of India as well as international demands. However, saying that, it has no correlation to our sales in India. I mean, we were able to cater to the domestic demand in India through our existing plant where dihydrogestrone was previously being produced. But seeing the potential of the product and seeing the growth of the product in the coming future, we started this new plant so that we are prepared well in advance to cater to the expected new demand for the growth in India and the newer markets.
So for the newer markets, there would be an approval process. When do you see yourself, you know, being able to position yourself in those markets with sales?
In newer market like China, Russia, UAE and extra. If we have just started the approval process, it will take another 2 to 3 years minimum. So by 2027-2028, you can see a, you, that the sales of the product dydrogesterone will go to those markets. It will take another 2 to 3 years minimum.
And for the tax rate, what should we budget for the full year this year and in the coming year, in FY25?
So for the period, if you look the for the 9 months period, our effective tax rate is close to 20%, and for the year it should be around 21% or so.
And is there scope to further ramp up Sikkim and therefore also sort of bring down tax rate in FY25, or does it stabilize at these levels going ahead?
Yeah, so that's a good question. We have done the capacity enhancement last year. And if you see last year, we were at 22%. This year, we are hovering somewhere close to 20%. So we have taken benefit. Yes, there are levers available, but it all depends on the products being sold out of Sikkim plant and the expansion being carried out. So we expect it to be somewhere in the range of 20 to 21% ETR.
Okay. The final one from my side, for the new chronic divisions, specialty chronic divisions, which you launched in Mumbai, you know, relatively recently, can you give us some idea of what's been the PCPM ramp up from these divisions and, you know, what time frame do you see that optimizing or coming to parity with the market average PCPM of chronic?
In the last 4 years, we've launched many divisions, quite a lot of divisions. Productivity ranges from 2 lakh rupees to 4 lakh rupees. That's the kind of a thing. And at different times, these divisions have been launched. Some are 4 years old, some are 3.5 years old. At different times, they've launched. So in chronic side, once a division crosses 5 crore rupees turnover, then it starts really, I mean, firing best. So we hope that as the time will pass, these divisions will do very, very good. Because in chronic side, advantage basically is what your prescription stays with you and new prescriptions add to your growth. That's one reason we are so bullish about chronic side.
Even if you see the growth of this chronic division, this is much higher than the other general division. In some are growing in the range of 20%, some are growing in the range of 30%. So going forward, these divisions will contribute.
Right, sir. And on the consumer portfolio, where this year has been weak because of some of the channel consolidation and IT activities that you're undertaking, how should we look at recovery in terms of growth in the coming year?
We mentioned you in the past as well, I mean a few minutes back again. In the last quarter only, we said that we are correcting certain things over there. So this year will be muted. Next year we expect to really regain the previous kind of a growth. Good growth will come next year in consumer side.
Right. Thanks, and I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jain from ICICI Prudential Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
I have a question, follow-up on the export side. If you can help us understand, for the 9 months, how much is the growth on the base business and how much is the one-off opportunity? Because I think in the last con call you said that you are targeting for double-digit growth on the base business, removing the one-off. So if you can clarify that a little better, please.
So, I mean, we are on track to, as we said in the last quarter, that the new business, the newer launches which are there, which are getting ramped up. So there is significant growth in those products. And as well as from the one-off business, there is growth. So, I mean, if you really ask me, I mean, it's almost like 60-40% between the one-off product and the newer launches or the base business.
the growth basically in the 960% is from newer launches and 40% is from one-off.
60% is from the one-off and 40% is from the either the existing products or the new launches.
Understood, sir. Second question on expenses. For the 9 months, I think our employee cost is up by 19% and other OPEX is up by 15%. Is there any specific reason for this higher increase or do we expect this run rate to continue?
No, if you see on quarter, and if we talk about the employee cost, on quarter-on-quarter basis, in value terms, it is flat. But since sequentially there is a drop in the sale of around 4-odd%, so that's why in percentage terms it is higher. And if you compare it to last year to this year, yes, there is increase in employee cost because we have added additional headcount of close to around 1,000-odd people at the overall group level. And this also includes the impact of the annual increment which is taken and some ESOP expense has also come in. And moreover, there on a year-on-year basis, there is a 25% increase. So that has also have a variable incentive impact therein.
Right. Will you be able to guide us for FY25? How should we think about the growth in expenses and employee costs?
See, the endeavor is that the increase in on percentage basis, on an overall percentage basis, the employee cost increase percentage should be lower than the growth percentage of the company. That's how we try to peg it. And if you look at it in the percentage terms, it from last year to this year, in percentage terms, it is lower.
Understood.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Salvi from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I was looking at the investor presentation, so I don't know whether this question has been asked by previous participants, but the domestic business growth at 20% YOY in this quarter and IQVIA reported growth is at 9%. So how much can you split the growth between modern trade, hospital sales and the actual primary sales if we do to the channels for our understanding? And why? And the second question is why there is so much difference between reported IQVIA and reported and IQVIA numbers?
Mr. Rahul, good morning. So my submission is you'll get a better understanding about this scenario in case you look at nine month YTD growth numbers. So I'll start with that and then I'll answer your full question. So our 9 month growth was 13.4% and IQVIA shows it 9%. So modern trade, e-commerce and hospital-based business is not captured by IQVIA. So it contributes in our sale 5 to 6% and in growth it contributes by 2%. So if you look at 2% to 9% of IQVIA, so we are very close to 13.4% and then the remaining percentage is from new business which has already been mentioned by Rajiv sir. So we are close to that number, that primary number, if you compare IQVIA versus primary on 9 month basis. So my submission is you should look at this number, the growth number on 9 month basis rather than one quarter, because IQVIA number does not capture modern trade, corporate hospital sales. So there will be discrepancies and our modern trade and business has grown in this quarter by more than 35% on YTD basis by 60%. So that is why it has an impact on overall growth numbers.
Okay. And modern trade and e-commerce is the same or it's different?
modern trade is basically B2C and e-commerce. It is brick and mortar. We supply medicines to brick and mortar stores.
So modern trade basically is this Apollo's and brick and mortar. And e-commerce, you know, e-commerce is what, basically, right? So we're talking about modern trade and hospitals.
Modern trade and hospitals.
And something I just want to mention here, that our modern trade and the hospital department has come up recently, a few quarters back. Earlier, it was not properly organized.
It was not structured. So things were happening as it is. But now, since it is being supplied from Mankind to these hospitals, and as per our understanding, IQVIA does not cover these. That's one reason you are seeing that kind of a difference.
I think from next year it will normalize.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, so that also explains the -1% volume degrowth which is shown by IQVIA, because they are not capturing the modern trade.
We'll take that offline.
Okay. And second question is on the export growth. So there was a question on that, but did you quantify the one-off? And if you're saying that we'll still grow double digits on that, on the base of this year, which will be say around 650-700 crores, so that one-off is a recurring one-off, or what exactly do we mean to say?
Rahul, we are not quantifying the one-off. It is a reasonably large part this year. We don't know when the competition on this product will come. But we also mentioned that, you know, last year and this 9 months, there have been few launches. And our product selection is based on, you know, quality of the products with higher margins. So base portfolio is also growing double digit this year. And we expect base portfolio to continue to grow double digit next year as well.
Okay, so there is no visible competitor in this one-off
currently
opportunity,
no.
As of now.
It continues as far as this quarter is concerned.
Okay, thank you. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, would you attribute the strength in the hospital segment, the organized part which Rajuji mentioned, to the Panacea acquisition?
No, it's not like that. I mean, see, the point was, earlier our regular stockists were supplying, right? So supplies were already there. But the problem was, in one state, goods were coming in second state. So just to address that problem, we have centralized this modern trade, a hospital business department, and now things are going straight from our depots to those places so that we can properly distribute sales to right people. And since it has been done in last couple of quarters, that means around 1 year, and that's one reason we all of a sudden see, I mean, huge sales, which was already there. And when it was being done from our regular stockist, IQVIA was covering, now it is not. That's one reason. Yes, certain kind of advantage you get when you get some kind of a products from Panacea as well, but not very significant.
Understood, sir. And I think as you mentioned in response to the previous question, you expect this outperformance from these newer segments to normalize from next year onwards?
Newer segment means what?
Modern.
Yeah. It will be done. Yeah. It will normalize.
But this year there is a base effect, no? So that's why.
Fair enough. Sir, the second question is, do we remain keen on divesting the Mahananda Resort, and also is the Gurugram residential project completely off the books now?
No, that project is on the verge of completion, the residential project, so it is coming in the books. And with regard to Mahananda, so we would like to re-emphasize that there is no further investment which is going into this particular resort. So this is self-sufficient or self-sustainable mode. And if you look at the EBITDA, that EBITDA is also higher if you compare it to the Mankind EBITDA level. But having said that, we remain committed to our initial position that whenever there are good monetization opportunity, we will definitely explore and capitalize on that.
Understood, sir. And one last question, if I may. In the previous call, we had mentioned about recouping 70% of our FY23 sales for Codistar. Can you update us on the progress on that?
Alankar, Codistar, when it was the product, when it was restricted, the company was doing approximately 8 CR per month. So we are already at the level of 6 CR per month. So we are very close to that, but there has been steep decline because of price erosion. But unit-wise, we have improved. So we believe next year we will reach very close to the number we were last year.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just one question on Dydrogesterone. When we see the IQVIA data, we see that the value share has come down and there are some other competitors also picking up the share, which I understand that, you know, it is mainly due to the competition coming in. In the volume share also, it has slightly come down. So here also, is there any adjustment of modern trade which is not shown by the IQVIA data? That is my first question. And whether we are really, the volume share has come down or we are really picking up in that product. Second question is on, in case if the trade margin rationalization comes in the future, will there be any impact on Dydrogun sales? Because that is through Clinix, right? And Grobina is at the chemist level. So if you can give some picture on it.
No, let me take, there are two, three questions in this. First question, I don't think that Dydrogun and Drogyna are promoted through different channels. Both are promoted through trade channels. Whether it is Dydrogun or Drogyna, both are being promoted through trade channels, number one. Number two, modern trade definitely has made an impact in overall volume growth. There is no confusion about that because it's not captured by IQVIA. Having said that, because of increased competition, we lost momentum in first two quarters, but we have taken corrective measures in the third quarter. And let me share with you, if you look at our Q2 versus Q3, our market share has improved from 16% to 18%. And if you look at the December growth, we initiated corrective measures, some initiatives in third quarter, early third quarter, so which has given us good results. So third quarter market share is approximately 18% versus Q2 market share of 16%. Plus, if you look at December growth, IQVIA, Dydrogun growth was 19% versus industry growth of 17%. So we are on track for better performance in the coming month and the next year. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, sir, very well. And there won't be any impact in case of trade margin rationalization comes, right, on this particular product?
Nothing. No. No, madam.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it for my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking time out for the call and we look forward to interacting with you going ahead in subsequent quarters as well. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you, members. Thanks so much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Mankind Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.